As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, your host, with another week of the most interesting people in the Ville. You'll hear it all right here as we head into our second year of recording on the Rusty Satellite Show. This week I've got some interesting things to talk about, a couple of great guests. First of all, in the second half of the show, you're going to hear from a guy who is a longtime small business owner in town who operates A Taste of Louisville, but has a very interesting story about a connection with a submarine in that's stationed in Pearl Harbor and its connection to Louisville. And but in the first part of the show, I have Nick Stover, who you may not recognize that name, but you're probably followed some of his tweets and social media because he is known as UL Flying Card. He's the guy who does all the tweets and all the social media for the University of Louisville Athletic Department. And you'll be interesting to hear about his story about how he got that job. It's something. Well, let me just ask you, think about this. If you had a job you really, really wanted and you didn't feel like you were right in there and you're in the final candidates, would you consider jumping out of an airplane to get a picture to impress your future boss? Well, that's part of the story of Nick Stover. So stay tuned for that as his interview is coming right up. First, I want to tell you that in my life, of those of you who have been following the show, you know that I just moved to a new home in Jefferson Town. And I called up former Rusty Satellite guest John Cosby of the J-Town Chamber today, told him I was the newest J-Town resident and was expecting some sort of welcoming committee or party or something. Nothing's really happened yet, but all in jest, I moved over the weekend and it was a really great experience. The first day I used the truck that was provided to me free of charge by Bob Sokoler. And, you know, Bob was my realtor on the deal, and it just made the whole process really easy to deal with. Everything from searching for the house to the process of making an offer and the counter offers, negotiating the deal, it was all smooth sailing. And, you know, I've done other real estate transactions, and never has it been as easy to do as this. So I would recommend, you know, call up, give Bob a call, tell him that Rusty Satellite sent you. His number is 376-5483. So, again, Bob Sokoler handled my real estate transaction for me, and he's done more than one. So anyway, really enjoy doing that. So now let's get on with the show. And Nick Stover is the coordinator of social media over at the University of Louisville in the athletics department. He's a young man. I actually met him several years ago when I was playing racquetball, and Nick is He's an outstanding racquetball player. But we had to talk about our injuries and why we're not playing anymore. But maybe we'll both get back on the court someday soon. But I think you'll find this interview very interesting about what goes on behind the scenes with social media and the University of Louisville Athletic Department. So here's my interview with you.
Hi, this is John Wirth of the Louisville Beer Podcast. Each Tuesday, John King, Scott Likens, and I bring you up to speed on the craft beer scene here in Louisville. We interview minor local celebrities, give you the scoop on upcoming events, and enjoy some finely crafted beers while we're at it. Find us online at LouisvilleBeer.com and catch the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Louisville.am.
I'll tell you, I have had a lot of guests with cool jobs on this show before, but the one I'm with today may be the coolest. Welcome to Nick Stover here at the University of Louisville. Nick?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Happy to be with you today.
Now tell our audience that don't know your name, what it is you do over here.
Sure. I'm the Director of Social Media and Engagement for the University of Louisville Athletic Department. And basically what that breaks down to is I handle the content, the branding, the support behind all of our social media platforms.
Wow. Well, I know that's a big thing because it's not just football and basketball, right? It's every sport. So you go to every U of L event.
I try to go to as many as possible. Every event would be a bit much. I tried that my first year, and it about killed me. But I make it to all the football, basketball. I go to a lot of the soccer games. I go support all the Olympic sports when I can. It just depends on how many we have in a day. Sometimes we'll have, you know, six or more events in a single day, and it's a lot to get around to. Sometimes I get the chance to travel with the teams, and I'm just not in town. But I like to get to as many events as I can.
Okay, and when you get there, it's easy to say you just tweet or whatever, but I'm sure there's more to it.
Well, there's a lot more. I mean, social media has become a huge landscape these days. So, yes, Twitter is the big catchphrase now that everybody seems to be on. But during the event itself, we have anywhere from 2 to 10 different accounts that we're updating, not just Twitter, but Facebook, Pinterest, Google+, all these different places where we want to provide fans with an experience. So whether they're at the event or they're watching from home, they can get onto one of our social media pages and feel like they're caught up in the action and the excitement of U of L sports.
Well, that's very cool. Now, how do you get, I'm sure there's a great story, but you're a young man, you're still pursuing your PhD here at the university, and how do you get such a job like this?
Well, there's a couple things that really fell into place for me. So I'll give you a little bit of my history and then get to the fun part of it. So I came here in 2006 to start the PhD program in educational leadership and organizational development, and then I was specializing in sport administration. So kind of a fancy title, but basically sport management was my focus. And I did all of my coursework for the PhD program, and then I went into the MBA program, got my business degree, and started working for a professional indoor soccer team here in the town called the Louisville Lightning. Now, they're no longer around, but at the time, we had a small budget, we were a very new team, and social media became the only way for us to really advertise and get word out about our program. So I developed, you know, our first Facebook, Twitter account, YouTube, all of those platforms, and it got so popular that I had teams from across the league, from the MLS, I had teams and players from across the world, actually, who would contact me and ask me what we were doing and how we were going about using social media to help our program. Now, the owner of that team, Wayne Estopinall, is a name you might have heard of. Well, I know you have. But
he's a former Rusty Satellite guest.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a great man, and he's been really pursuing bringing this new professional outdoor team to town. Uh-huh. But he also is the architect responsible for the new University of Louisville men's and women's soccer stadium, the Dr. Mark Lynn and Cindy Stadium. And so he did that design and obviously had some good connections here to U of L with Mark and Tom Jurich, and helped me get my foot in the door and introduced me to my current boss, Mark. And when I applied here, they wanted to see some footage of me on camera. You know, I got down to the final few candidates, and I said, okay, I've got all these press conferences that I've done with the Lightning. That'll be easy. I'll just pass that along. I went home, looked at the press conferences, and they were boring. I was sitting there just, you know, at a podium trying to look old and mature.
Yeah,
so I told Mark, I was like, all right, let me have the weekend. I'm going to go and do something really cool for you. And I wanted to show my passion for U of L. I wanted to show that I was willing to do anything and to fly around, you know, the country. country and cover U of L sports. So I decided I was going to go skydiving wearing a U of L shirt and do the hashtag in midair at 10,000 feet. So I get get all dressed up.
And,
oh, have you? Yeah. So it was kind of a fun video. I'm falling out of the plane, do L1C4 in midair, and submitted that. They loved it. Really helped me get my name out there and get started.
They got it. So now you've got all the experience. I'm sure you're going to – but you're not the guy that in the Cardinal thing that flies down and lands on the field before the game.
No, that wasn't me. That was several years ago. I wouldn't mind doing it again. The soccer teams asked me about trying to do that in the middle of the new stadium. We'll see if that happens. But, no, I don't get to wear the mascot suit. But mostly I'm around the mascot. I'm around the fans. I'm around the coaches, the players, the teams, and really just try to provide a perspective of what life with U of L is like.
Right. And go ahead and impress me with some numbers. I know the number of people that follow U of L is phenomenal, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, on our Facebook platform, I think we're up to about 275,000 followers on Twitter. You know, we have some 60 to 70,000 on our main accounts. You know, it just depends on which platform you're on, but those numbers have grown immensely just over the last 2 years. When I started, I think we only had about 100,000 followers, and one of the big goals that my bosses have for me is to try to put ourselves out there as being experts in the field, as being at the top of the social media landscape, and to have other schools, other universities look at what we're doing and how we're promoting our athletic department.
So there's and just because I don't know all of them, there's Facebook, there's Twitter. What else are you involved in?
Oh, let me check all the apps on my phone here. So the main ones, of course, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And sometimes the account names change. So on Facebook, it's facebook.com/gocards. Same thing on Twitter, it's gocards. Instagram is U of L Sports. YouTube is the other big one. That's U of L Sports. We also have a Google Plus account for Louisville Athletics. We do Vine and Snapchat. Those are some of the newer ones. Mm-hmm. And we're just sort of starting to experiment with those platforms to see what we can do. But then we also have, you know, student athletes, coaches who blog. We have different social media tie-ins to our websites. We've created a social media hub so that our fans during big events can get online and see stats and what people are saying and kind of join that conversation around our games.
Now, I've seen, I know athletes primarily, they get in the news sometimes for what they do on Twitter and what, you know, it's not always the greatest. Do you have any oversight or do you at least follow at the coaches and the athletes over here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Our compliance department is amazing. I mean, that's a huge emphasis by Tom Jurich and all of our administrators. So compliance really has kind of set the standards as to what our coaches and student athletes should and should not say. They do meetings with our teams at the beginning of the season and go over social media specifically. I'll come in and help them decide on some of their content, some of their messaging. I work with the teams more closely than the coaches on most of the accounts. But, for example, today I'm going over to the baseball office to talk to our coaches about what they can do to help promote themselves a little bit more. And it really just depends team to team on as to how involved I get. Each team is kind of like its own unique client. And so I go to them with sort of an individualized approach based on what the coach is comfortable with, how involved they want their student athletes to be on social media, and really what they need to do to get more success in that regard.
Okay. So nobody ever, like, tweets something that's derogatory or that they shouldn't say about the team or about U of L, right?
I wish. it happens. I mean, especially in sports. Everyone in this state is so passionate about their schools, their teams. Mm-hmm. So there is some banter back and forth between us and fans at Louisville or even fans of other schools, of course. There's another
I'd say
one.
The UK fans, you know, they're a horrible bunch of people, right? So they must do all kinds of horrible things on social media.
You're not going to get me to call UK fans horrible. I've got a lot of friends that are UK fans, and they're great people. I respect their passion. But, there are times when we have to be careful as to who we respond to and the tone that we take. And, you know, certainly our athletes before big games get excited. They want to talk to their friends at other schools, but we really work with them on keeping that banter to a minimum because it just provides fuel for that fire sometimes.
Yeah, how do you limit, for instance, the fan base and people that are fans? And maybe they see social media as their one opportunity to actually interact with, you know, either Bobby Petrino or you know, Russ Smith or somebody like that. How do you get involved at all in controlling that?
No, we don't control it, but we're very careful on the student-athlete side. You know, our athletes are protected, and they should be. Our SIDs monitor it closely. If they see, you know, some of our star athletes, so we said like a Russ Smith or, you know, Teddy Bridgewater when he was here, if they're getting hassled online, we will monitor that, and we'll go to Twitter, we'll go to Facebook, and they have policies set up so that you can't harass people, and, you know, we'll cite certain people and either have them removed or block them from those accounts. So it's happened before. We've also had some fans create fake accounts for our student-athletes and literally pretend to be these people. And it's just a distraction that we don't want our athletes to have. So we'll ask Twitter to remove those accounts, and we do as much as we can to make sure that our athletes, our coaches, everyone is safe on social media.
Yeah, seems like a vast amount of things to keep track of, right? But
oh, yeah.
You do it all yourself, right?
Well, I do a lot, but we have a huge team of people that help out. So there's no social media department per se, but it's more of a committee with myself, marketers, SIDs. I have a great team of student interns that I rely very heavily on for day-to-day content management. You know, each team, like I said, is unique. Sometimes the head coaches themselves will tweet and get online and really manage their content. Sometimes it's their director of operations or assistants.
Yeah, yeah. Like, for instance, talk about specifics. John Calipari is known as the guy who has the biggest social media following in the world, right? We're coming up on football season. How's Bobby Petrino to work with, or what's his social media life like?
You know, Bobby's been really interesting. Since he started here, he kind of has done a lot to seek out social media and try to find some new and ingenious ways to get word about the team out there. He really understands that this is where all of those young potential recruits are at. So I've been working through his director of operations, Andy Wagner, to come up with a plan for football so that we're doing videos all summer, we're doing updates about the team and interviews, we're putting that out through our Facebook and Twitter accounts, and, you know, really creating some unique things that will help the team be seen. I think practices are going to be a lot more open to social media now than in the past. In the past, it's been, you know, very close, tight-knit. We were very hard-pressed to even send pictures out. But he wants more of that coverage. You know, that's what
They say he's different, so that proves it, I guess. But
well, it's the start. We'll see how the first season goes. But so far, he's been very receptive to it and has been great to work with.
They seem to the mood, I guess, among coaches and athletes is vastly different, depending on whether they're winning or losing.
Completely.
It seems like it to me. I've been in an athletic department before. I know that's what it's like. So anyway, Nick, our time's about up here, but I really appreciate you taking time out to talk with me here at U of L. And look forward. You must be looking forward to those road trips in the ACC, right?
Oh, it's going to be incredible. Our schedule this year is unbelievable for not just football, basketball, but many of the sports. I can't wait to go to some of these away games and see our fans travel, and they're all looking forward to it. It's so much excitement around here right now. It's unbelievable.
All right. Well, if you want to follow Nick on social media, it's UL Flying Card, right?
Exactly. On Twitter and Instagram at UL Flying Card is best. You can also look up our social media hub on cardinalathleticfund.com/social.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, and thank you to Nick Stover for allowing me to come by his office over there at the third floor of the Student Activity Center at the University of Louisville. And got to walk around and see some folks there. And it was all great. So this is the part of the show where I talk about some of the things that are going on in town and some of the things that I find that are interesting in the news. And, you know, right now I'm looking at, you know, it's summer. in summer in the news often means, believe it or not, a lot of people are on vacation, but the criminals aren't. And people doing dumb things is not doesn't seem to take a break. It seems to increase in the summertime. At one point this week, the WDRB news page included these four stories. A pedestrian killed on Dixie Highway involving a motorcycle. One person dead after a road rage incident on Southern Parkway. Police found a man dead in Newburgh in his home. And the police department was investigating, a different accident on Dixie Highway. So, you know, it seems like, I don't know if it's the summer, we got more free time, whatever it is. I don't think it's the fact that the news media is reporting it more. Certainly the TV stations are going to cover people getting killed and in trouble in different ways. And I don't mean to make light of this, but just to take a look at what happened on Southern Parkway. Now, the police said this was the second road rage incident in the last month. And from all accounts, to basically summarize the story, two guys saw each other outside a liquor store near Churchill Downs. They got in their cars and they started basically chasing each other. I don't know all the details, and I don't presume to know what was going on with these two individuals. But, in a sick way, I don't know. It's either stupidity or just flat out not having any sense. So the one guy was apparently traveling at a high speed down Southern Parkway, pulled out a gun and shot at the other guy. And the guy who was shot at, he had bullet holes in his car and everything. But the thing that, sort of makes you like chuckle is that the guy doing the shooting basically ran off the road into a tree and was killed instantly. So, I mean, he was doing something stupid. I'm sure his he's got family members and all that. It's just such a, tragic way to go. But that's sort of what's dominating the news these days, those kinds of stories. I don't get it. But there is a real piece of media news that is making its way into the local newspapers and websites. And that is the story of, for a long time we've been chronicling the changes in local media. At the Courier-Journal, it's the loss of reporters and personnel as they try to basically pay their expenses and be an asset for the Gannett Corporation down at the Courier-Journal. In my view, the problems they got are is that they've got a lot of overhead. They've got that huge building down there, and it's really hard to turn a profit when advertising numbers are down and all that. On the other hand, we have WDRB-TV, which has sort of been leading the way in terms of hiring journalists and adding staff and adding to their building and doing building projects. It's like a ghost town up at the Courier-Journal, but they were squeezed in at WDRB that so much that they had to expand the building, and that's been done. Well, this week, education reporter Tony Kahns, who has been at the Courier for a while, has a big following in social media. Announced that she was leaving the Courier-Journal to go to WDRB to do basically the same reporting that she's done at the Courier. Now, she joins a lot of former colleagues at the Courier-Journal. We've talked about Chris Ottz and Marcus Green and Jason Riley are over there doing news. John David Dyke, their opinion writer, is a freelance, but he went over there. And of course, famously, the sports team of Eric Crawford and Rick Bozich all left the Courier-Journal within the last couple of years to work at a TV station. Now, that would have been unheard of a long time ago, but it's sort of expected now. And, to its credit, the Courier, unlike other times, immediately put out an ad that they were hiring a replacement for Tony, who's a great reporter and will do well at DRB. But the Courier is not going to just roll over and let that happen. They're hiring a new education reporter. It's a very important beat. And so I would say in a very short amount of time, you're going to see a new byline at the Courier covering the schools. Hey, schools. Speaking of schools, there's a big story going on, and I've talked about it before on here, but it just amazes me how the Jefferson County Public School Systems handle discipline. Now, they have basically, from all reports, and I'm just telling you what I read in the media, they have basically caught red-handed the principal at Mayall High School cheating, helping kids cheat on tests. And he's apparently done a lot of other things that are either unethical or illegal. And I tell you, the evidence must be pretty strong. But in true JCPS fashion, and I know there's a strong union, there's all kinds of reasons this happens, but they haven't, they didn't just fire David Mike, the principal at Mail. No, they put him in a cushy desk job over at the JCPS headquarters, and where he'll stay and continue collecting his six-figure salary until they get around to finishing this investigation. And I just tell you, in the real world of business, that is not the way disciplinary issues happen. I mean, you catch somebody doing something blatantly wrong, you've got evidence of it, the first thing you do is let them go from the company. So that's not the way it works at JCPS. It's not really a big complaint. It's just a waste of taxpayers' money. Continue paying this guy, who you're eventually going to find out, I believe, is involved in some stuff that should get him fired. So anyway, that's a big story in the news right now. It's going around about the controversies in Jefferson County Public Schools and Mail High School. I saw they announced that a principal at Ballard would be going over and doing some duties at Mail. Of course, it's the summertime. School's not in, so it's just a matter of getting ready for next year. And, that story is going to, it's a scandalous story. It's going to stay with us for a while. So anyway, those are some of the big stories this week. I've been following, I've been paying attention to, and, so let's move on to our next guest, and his name is John Hassman. And I didn't know John before the other day, but I thought it was such an interesting story. I got an email from Carolyn McLean, former Rusty Satellite guest, who said this is a fascinating story. There's a submarine called the USS Louisville that's stationed in Pearl Harbor, and for 15 years, no publicity, no thank you, no anything but the recognition from the crew on this submarine. John has sent Derby pies at Christmas and at Derby time over to the guys on the sub, and it's a great story. And so occasionally the military pays for these guys to go back to the city where that their vessel is named after, and so the crew of four came into Louisville. They did a photo shoot over there at A Taste of Louisville in Middletown, and I missed that, but I got there a little bit afterwards and talked to John about his business and what's going on with his connection with the USS Louisville. He's a fascinating guy. I think you'll like him. Here's our interview.
Hi, this is Alec Voles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
And today the Rusty Satellite Show is in Middletown at the A Taste of Kentucky store with John Hassman. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And this is a big day for you here at A Taste of Kentucky. Now, I'll set it up and let you explain, but there is a submarine called the USS Louisville, right, and stationed in Pearl Harbor. And I guess the crew has made a trip here, and you have a special connection with them, right?
Right. Well, it's been probably about 15 years ago that we recognized the fact the namesake ship was out there. So I contacted the captain at that time. And subsequent to that, we've been sending three or four cases of Derby pies out to the crew at both Christmas time and again at Derby, just simply to say, hey, we appreciate what you're doing. Folks back here are supporting you. So when they make their periodic trips to the Louisville area to meet with dignitaries and reinforce relationships,
And I understand, not to interrupt you, but they just come back. If it was the U.S. Alabama, they'd come back to Alabama, right? The military sends these people to these namesake cities.
And they want to secure relationships, let people know that the ship exists, what their mission is, and how it affects the city. So once every year or two, they come back, and generally they always give us a call. They always come by. Gives us an opportunity to say thanks. They thank us. We have some nice little goodie bags for them, but it's more just a chance to get some face to face. So that's what we did this morning.
Okay. And these guys, this is a submarine station in Pearl Harbor. What is their mission? What are they involved in?
They are one of the more sophisticated, maybe most sophisticated, fast attack submarines. Now, they're three different types of submarines. The boomers are the great big ones that carry the intercontinental ballistic missiles. This is a smaller, and it's designed to track and kill, basically. They've got Tomahawk missiles. They're very quick, very silent, and they can be anywhere in a heartbeat, and that's their mission.
Okay. Now, and the crew is, you said some 30, 40 guys regularly on it? Or
there's a crew of about 125.
Okay.
And you've got a commanding officer, executive officer, and a variety of others, and then sailors that do a variety of different things on there.
Okay. Well, and none of them are basically from Louisville, but they visit the city occasionally. Now, I'm curious as to what kind of goodies you put together. I know they like the pie.
Right.
All right, that they get twice a year, but you had four of them come in today. What did they get?
Well, today we had some snacks and little baskets made up for each one of them. They had Derby tarts, some bourbon balls, Majeska candies, a little snack mix from Nautilus, and a variety of other things designed to either tide them over while they're here. In this case, because they're traveling very light, we're going to ship them all back to Pearl Harbor tomorrow. So they'll get them at home, and they can enjoy them there and show them off a little bit, perhaps.
And you say this twice a year thing that you've been doing on your own voluntarily for 15 years. How many Derby pies per shipment do you send?
Well, there's four cases of 10, so that'd be 80 pies a year. And if you do that, what did that come up, 1,200 pies?
That's a lot. That's a lot. Well, I'm sure they're appreciative, and it's a really great gesture on the part of your, you know, I'm not insulting you by saying your little business. You're
right.
A small business here in Louisville. Tell me about Taste of Kentucky. The locations and how long you've had it.
Well, business was started in 1983 by two ladies literally working out of their basement. They felt opportunities to find and collect and sell Kentucky merchandise and to corporations and individuals. They did that at holiday season at the Mall St. Matthews. Then got an inline store. My wife went to work shortly thereafter, and we bought it 5 years later. So in that time, the breadth of products has expanded dramatically. When they started, they literally had to look behind trees and rocks to find products, people that could supply a good quality product in the kind of volume they needed. Since then, between the Department of Agriculture and the Buy Local, you know, there is a wealth. We get new products virtually every day. And it's a challenge to find something that we don't already have that's special, made in Kentucky, if we can. And so we now have the main store and warehouse in Middletown in the Village Square Center at 11800 Shelbyville. We recently moved our Mall St. Matthew store over to a larger, better store at the Shelbyville Road Plaza, in one downtown at the Aegon Center at 4th and Market, for businesses downtown, for conventioners, tourists, and so forth. So that's, and we have a big website. We do a lot of corporate business. We're fortunate to work with some of the largest corporations in Kentucky who like to promote Kentucky products.
Yeah, it really seems like, I mean, you can't imagine this town without it. You know, you got certain occasions you go to Taste of Kentucky. Our company has some things we buy here. In the early days, you say there wasn't that many products, but I would imagine that there's a lot now. I mean, you have to sift through and turn down some, I'm sure.
Unfortunately, we do. We try to avoid duplicating what we already have. With the advent of the emphasis on bourbon, we're offered a lot more bourbon products, bourbon related, mm-hmm. whether it's in foods or hard products. And we found a variety of vendors around the state that can make unusual pieces for us or unusual foods. So, you know, as things change, as the focus changes, we're trying to be right there to pick up on that and offer it to our customers. And right now, bourbon's big, so we have bourbon barrels, bourbon furniture, bourbon barrel heads, a lot of bourbon-related food at all the stores, and it does extremely well. But it's every day we get new opportunities, and that's what makes it exciting for me.
So it's a small business basically helping other small businesses,
yeah.
I guess.
Really
make it. I mean, I'm just curious as to what product is like the most popular. What do you sell the most of?
The items, and what's, I guess, unique about it in the sense is they're the same products that we started selling 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Things like Derby Pie, Bourbon Balls, Majeska Candies, and a variety of others, primarily consumables. We've also added things like the Bourbon Barrel Cake, which has been a large one. We've expanded. In the Bourbon Balls, we carry 5 or 6 different brands. A lot of snack mixes and a lot of things like that, jellies, preserves.
Sure.
People can create a gift basket if that's their goal. We'll offer pre-made ones in the store at different price points. If they find something they like, that's fine. If they want to pick the items themselves, we'll put it together generally on the spot for them so they can personalize as much as they want. But it's still... Okay. The basics are still the basics. It's
yeah.
The Derby Pies, the Bourbon
Balls. Well, I had my eye on the I Used to Be Cool t-shirt up
yes.
front. Yes. I've got to have one of those, I think.
Those are great. And it's like most things is everything virtually has a story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
This was a young lady who when she got out of college, bounced around Central America with some friends in a Volkswagen microbus, took the easy life for a while. Now she's got 3 kids and a minivan. And her focus is, you know, there was a time before kids and minivans that I was cool.
I can remember those days, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's say, looking back, you know, you started this 20-something years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You must have, you know, this show's about interesting people. What you must have had a previous career. Did you do something?
Yeah, I've had I was always in sales in one form or the other.
Okay.
When I got married to Sherry, I was a manufacturer's rep with an office in Chicago, and I traveled Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia, so I worked with folks like Dollfingers and Stewart's Department Store, providing better gifts, China Crystal.
Okay.
So that's where I kind of got into this. My parents had some retail stores in Wisconsin. That's kind of in your blood, and eventually I wound up over here.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. Now, Louisville, you must, I don't know if you grew up here, but your connection to Louisville, I'm always interested in asking my guests, you know, would this work anywhere else, or being in Louisville help you in your business?
Well, people know Louisville, whether it's for KFC or the Derby. When we travel outside the country, that's typically what people know. But most states, in fact, all states have something like this. But the success is predicated on the availability of good quality products, unique products.
Mm-hmm.
So Kentucky, to my way of thinking, has far more available, more creative people, which assures us an ongoing supply of unique items. So if you go to Wisconsin, and I've been to shops there where they did beer and cheese and Green Bay Packer merchandise. Well,
yeah.
You know there's got to be more available, unless you think they would. But so we have a breadth of products here that really makes it good for us.
And I'm just curious, outside of the city, you know, throughout the state of Kentucky, a lot of your products are statewide, have a statewide target. You've never thought about opening a store in Lexington or anything like that?
We've talked and thought about it, but the logistics, in fact, we're looking at an opportunity here shortly, but the logistics of control and quality assurance and so forth, you know, if you get too far away, you risk losing some of that.
Uh-huh.
And customer service is what we're built on. And to have a store someplace else and not be 100% comfortable that treated the way they should be kind of worries me.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of improvements we can do here before we go wandering off.
Sure, sure. Well, bigger isn't always better. It's
right.
It's a great niche you have here. And, you know, I guess I'm going to look forward to getting the Rusty Satellite T-shirts on your mantle up there. I'll be one of your suppliers. But John, very interesting story. A great thing you're doing with the USS Louisville, and glad to hear about it. It's a very interesting story.
Well, it's fun. They're great people. We love our little company. We love our customers. We've got great employees. Some been with us 25 years or longer. We just like what we're doing.
All right, John, I'll come back over there and get my I Used to Be Cool t-shirt at A Taste of Kentucky. It's a really cool place and a lot of cool stuff there if you're into Kentucky-related stuff. So that concludes another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. Boy, there's a lot going on this weekend. I will be participating and going to been invited to a party at the Blues and Barbecue Festival down there at the Water Tower. That's this weekend. Rusty Satellite guest Larry Bissig invited me to go over there and listen to some blues and have some good food. So I'm looking very much forward to that. And there's a bunch of other stuff going on in town, including the Lebowski Fest. And it's summer. It's time for festivals. Time to get outside. I've had a little issue with my new home with the cable. I haven't been able to get cable hooked up or the the internet hadn't been working yet at my home. So I've been spending a lot of time not watching TV and not being on the internet, and it's been refreshing. There's a lot to do in the summer. I've been sitting outside at my new home. It's really all been great. So one programming note, our hardworking producer Dan Vonderhyde, who is the owner and operator of Louisville.am, every week produces this show and several others, is taking a much needed break next week. So there will not be a Rusty Satellite Show next week. So you can listen to this one twice to get your fix next week, I guess. But we'll be back in 2 weeks with another great show with more of the most interesting people in the Ville. So until then, this is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.